It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here in Hawaii, and all good things are running about here. We got a couple things we'll be talking about, and you know my favorite subject, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and or that's for DLNR, standing for do little or nothing for the resources, but don't ask them, they'll tell you it's different. But and I offer that for one reason. That is to extend an invitation to Mr. Dan Dennison, the spokesperson for the Department of Land and Natural Resources, or if you've read some of the postings on Facebook, we'll call him the sniper. He has a tendency of, does not wish to speak with the general public unless you're gracing him with compliments or his agency. But if you have something that seek to ask questions more probative and determine what it is that they do and why is it that we have such conflicts in their operations, you are likely to get nothing for an answer or participation in the request for information. So, just a moment. Okay, we're back here. So the reality is this. We're going to be talking about cats. And cats, particularly the wild ones, or the feral ones. And there's some real concerns. And we will lay some things out. And I posted something that I was privy to, information as always. And what Mr. Dennison characterizes it as fake news. Well, we don't do fake news. That's just the bottom line. There's so much corruption and conflict and lack of concern within government agencies, we would be actually committing a crime to sit and manufacture falsities or false information when there's an abundance of corruption, malfeasance, politics in the DLNR. So I want to assure you that at no time do we rely or have a need to. So let's make it very clear. And these postings, by the way, I love them because, and I have a caller here on the line and we'll get to you shortly, real quick, to lay some foundations out here. Now, in February 23, 2016, I wrote Mr. Dennison of the DLNR, public relations person, doorkeeper, whatever you call him. He's a former media person, and you can take the rest of it from that. Mr. Dennison, I am preparing for a show on the DLNR's policy prohibiting the feeding of cats on state property. I have obtained a copy of a letter from DLNR director directing Mr. Donald Filippi, I'm sorry, to cease and desist from depositing or spreading any type of food throughout the facility, end quote. The letter further states, quote, failure to comply with this directive may result in further administrative action that include but not limited to fine, citation, and loss of your mooring privileges with the harbor. Now, let me make something clear. Mr. Filippi is in his 80s, and he's lived there at Kehi Lagoon for some while. I understand more than 25 years on his boat. So the good people at DLNR, Mr. Ed Underwood, assaulted him with these actions by threatening him to lose his boat, which he lived on and have lived on it for some 25 to 30 years, as I understand it. So this situation that is developing and unfolding is not based on true facts. but half-truth and manipulation on the part of the DLNR. I would like to, I would like to request that Mr. Ed Underwood or his designee participate in the discussion on DLNR's policy prohibiting the feeding of cats and on state property during my radio show on February 28, 2016. We will also be discussing specific penalties, punishments, and the threat to revoke mooring privileges contained in Mr. Underwood's letter to Mr. Filippi. I would also appreciate your assistance in this matter and ask that you advise Mr. Underwood or his designee will participate. If Mr. Underwood or his designee cannot participate in person, they can participate by telephone. My show airs live on Sundays. So, now, that was my letter, and practically nearly 2 years ago. So this thing about cats has been in the makings, the killing of cats, removal. And I understand it's so comical that these things present themselves in the form that they do, as if it was some magical moment, some act of God. The Associated Press wrote an article, basically, I suspect it was to respond to my postings. But it didn't name me. But the reality is that there are a number of people that are quite upset right now that feed cats. And unless we want to label them or describe them or accuse them of being mentally ill, then they see something that is annoying them, and they have a right to react and respond. And there was a big meeting just on Friday to follow up. Now, as the Associated Press letter talks, and we'll post that on carolcox.com, or you can go to Carol Cox and get it, and I will read some excerpts from it. But in response to my letter, Dan Dennison basically said, "Carol, I checked with appropriate folks in our divisions regarding your request for a live interview regarding feral cats on Sunday. Unfortunately, no one is available." End of statement. Now, you didn't see, this is a government agency. I wasn't asking for a social gathering. I'm asking for actions taken by, have a discussion on actions proposed and taken by, and threats that are being made against citizens, an 80-some-year-old gentleman, citizen here, threatened with being homeless because he feed cats in the harbor and have been doing it for the umpteen years, and no problem. And so he didn't have time, wouldn't have time. And he basically checked with the appropriate folks. Is there any appropriate folks out there that he wouldn't be consulting? I don't know. But there's so much to talk about on this, and I want you to understand something. My actions are caused by or triggered by the understanding that I have and the complete view of this from afar, that the Department of Land and Natural Resources is a failed agency. It's a corrupt agency. It's an agency that consists of people that they're bullies. They are people that don't do their job. They operate outside of the law. We've just had one recently, an officer, badge carrying, gun carrying, jail for assault, sexual assault. We have had others in problems, and we have, for example, Suzanne Case. We talk about the need for getting rid of these cats, so to speak, and I'm not going to go for the bait to discuss what this meeting that they had, the real purpose of it was. It is very clear what they wanted to do. This process is a smokescreen. It's not honest. It's not a viable process. And we're going to call it and describe it just as we see it. And we have done that. So go to carolcox.com, and you can Google DLNR cats, DLNR helicopters, DLNR sea cucumbers, DLNR corruption. These things have already been spoken. So what happens then? I want to set the tone so that we don't have to assume who are these people we're talking about. This is a government agency that is supposed to operate within the confines of ethics, the law, no one's above the law, and have a clear policy, and have a policy that does not weaken its efforts to protect the natural resources and protect the people and protect the environment, but a sound policy that relies on honest workers, honest leadership, and people with the aptitude to manage such massive set of issues that come before them on a daily basis, historical issues, historical preservation, water issues, fish issues, you name it. So when we see a letter, it's laughable, because when you see a letter like this, when just so timely that somehow I didn't see a press release or anything that we're calling a press release to have to make this statement, and so we can cover our basses. You know, it wasn't one of those. It was in regards to Denison's desire, need to cover his bass, and let's just say that there's a lot more to it. But we had a recent incident where I reported some years back, two or three years back, when Suzanne Case first came on. Imagine conservation officers on a drug detail to eradicate marijuana on the island of Maui. Somehow this helicopter was then used during these trips, one of these trips especially, to haul a Randy Awo's subordinates, and who was a branch chief at the time, and go up in the mountains and gather aquatic wildlife, hihivai, snails, opi, shrimp, or what have you, and fish, opu, or whatever it is that they gather. And on that helicopter, federally paid, federally funded, and monies from the source there, and some state monies, and whoever donates or provides the monies. And that helicopter then shuttled those people back down, and then they went and used that, what they gathered, at a wedding, for Mr. Awo's daughter's wedding. Suzanne Case at that time ignored it. I brought it to her attention. She ignored it, blew me off. And there were other things that I shared with her that were of conflict and ethics violations. And they're all in writing, and they're posted at carolcox.com, not just for today, but they've been there for a while. So I'm trying to give you a backdrop of when we hear the cries of Mr. Dan Denison, I want to alert you and warn you that you have to see through that. Because there were days before this, this little incident of this meeting, that are relevant. So he needs to put everything on the table, then we can move forward and deal with the issue, if there is an issue with cats or other predators or other non-native species, then we can do that. But not by sniping at a person like me, because I really don't give a rat's butt whatever you do in the style and your orchestration of attempts to rebut or retaliate. It doesn't work here. So I can just tell you, you've spent rounds for no reason. So we're going to take some calls now. So if you want to call in, 528-4181 or 524-9510. 524-9510 or 528-4181. Caller, thank you for calling and waiting. Your comments?
Yeah, I'll slide towards the cats in my conversation. Last time when I was listening, you said there was a contract on Rod Tim that you've been beaten in the head by a pipe. My grandfather was threatened not to develop fans to start jet or plane wheels spinning before they hit the ground, so they won't burst or reduce rubber.
Mm-hmm.
He was threatened by gunmen. I was threatened by a betting merchant gunman in Waipahu. I sent you a letter about that, never got a response. Now, they've got the rodenticide going on another island, killing rodents and fish. what makes a cat so important, and then when are these people going to finally bring out the humanicide?
Yeah, well, thank you. And that was one of my points I'd be talking about, because currently the same agency that have sat on the duff and done nothing over the years now got permission to dump poison from air, aerospray, and rat poison, that is, and it's fallen into tide pools, and it's no secret now that birds and fish are dying and from that poisoning. Now, quite naturally, you're not going to, we don't live in a vacuum, and yes, it will happen. But the reality is, this is a Department of Land and Natural Resources. We should expect much better from them.
Yeah, that goes without saying. And I'll just ask a question that might seem very abstract or strange, but what makes a cat more important than a rat, and what makes a human being important at all ever?
Yeah.
I mean, really, what's the importance of humans? When artificial intelligence takes over, it's going to kill us just like rats, because somehow, what, the Earth is valued higher in the algorithm?
Right. Well, good question. Good statement.
So let me just listen to you respond and not introduce any more into the thought.
Well, thank you, and call back if you have other questions.
Yeah, I'd like to hear you, monologue, because I think I said enough.
All righty. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Caller, thank you for waiting and calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Carol, what's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Okay, what else can I do for you? You have a comment on the subject matter we're talking about?
Not really. I just wanted to say hello.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
It's the Redskins and...
Okay, we're not talking football today, and we'll punt that one down the road. So, anyway, let me just go through this, and if you go to Carol Cox on Facebook, you'll understand the nature of this agency, this people. And I've invited other people that are involved in the cat community to the cat that feed cats and are concerned with cats to call in. So if you missed the boat, you missed the boat. And I'll just wave goodbye to you as the boat departs. So, and then you'll be up to your neck in your own problems. So here's, I'm going to read the letter that I suspect most, or if not all of this, came from. This recent vigorous effort, orchestrated effort to kill cats in a manner that is inhumane, and we'll talk extensively about this, this so-called new administrative rule, which apparently is sitting on the governor's desk or will be in the very near future, waiting for the governor's signature. And the funny thing is, And I'll have to read the posting, because I don't think you would fully understand. But this is to Don Filippi at and it was Don. Let's get the date here. February 20. They don't bother to. Okay. Well, we'll just go through the letter. Subject: violation of Hawaii administrative rules, section 13232-2 standard, and on littering land areas prohibited, and 13232-57 dogs, cats, and other domestic pets. Now, Mr. Filippi does not own those cats that he was feeding. These cats come from people dropping them off and abandoning them. And these cats then start to breed. And these cats then, if you've ever seen a population of cats, you're talking about irresponsible behavior and reckless behavior on the part of the state, DLNR. And that is, if you know you have a population of cats, and you know that Don Filippi is violating the law because you're citing the law, take an action. If it's an immediate threat to the human health or to the health of the environment, take an action. Don't let it build up as you have done, so that you could be able to present this as a package deal and say, in support of our desires to change the rules and be able to kill cats and what have you, or predators, then what we need to do is have you to look at this god-awful site here and the conditions and the population of these cats and what have you, and many of them are sick. And you stand there and you watch it, and you watch it build. When you're the authority who has the legal right and responsibility to take an action and mitigate that now, not tomorrow, not a year and a half from now, so that you could stack the cards and create meetings and say that you're dealing with the boat issues and the boating rules and what have you, but commingle in there and intersperse in that effort is addressing cats. Doesn't speak well for the integrity in the, of your so-called management. So, we look at this and we say, this letter is tells it all. And the staff of Kehi Small Boat Harbor, this is to Don Felipe, has given you several verbal warnings regarding your activities of spreading bird seed, feed and cat food throughout the harbor. Now, let me just tell you something. I don't know if any other letters, I'm not privy to any other letters, but I'm willing to bet other people that were there feeding and spreading bird seed did not get this letter. And I'm willing to bet is that a manipulation of this circumstance and causing and enhancing it and sending this letter and making it look like Don Felipe, an 80-year-old man or older, is this sinister person running around. And the law says notice to immediately cease and desist for cats or other domestic pets. Well, if they're feral, they're not domestic, so does the law apply? So I have personally spoken to you on two separate occasions, the letter goes on, regarding these activities and inform you of the public health and safety risk that are created by large amounts of cat feces as well as the rodents and feed on the food that is spread haphazardly throughout the facility. Let's stop right there for a minute and let me tell you something. I'm going to post some pictures, and I think there may be already be some up there for the Kehi transfer station. We're not talking about the Garden of Eden, folks, and I'm not saying that it's an excuse to have to deal with fecal matter from cats or any other species or in unhealthy condition. Not advocating for that. That poses a threat to human beings, and just the fact that you don't want to be stepping in it, whatever. We don't need an explanation. But the reality is this place called Kehi Transfer Station is a home to drug addicts, convicts of many types. This act is also a dump site for Ed Underwood's trash that people gather from the water when it floats in from the ocean, or when people clean their boats, or when people come in and illegally dump. And there are piles and piles of mattresses. And to say that Don Felipe is the problem, the conditions that were there, that are still there, actually, that prompted me to file a complaint with the state health department. And the state health department responded in a fashion not to prosecute the Kehi or the state DLNR because they're sister agencies, and you know the game. They cover for one another. But they made them clean it up. Now it's once again dirty and trashed. But in that same area now, we're not talking about a pristine area, and I'm raising this issue and sharing with you to say that when we get letters from a Dan Dennison or anyone that wants to go to war and pick a fight with me for and knowing what the real facts are, there must be some instability somewhere about your person. Because only a blind person to the facts that refused to put blinders on and say, the real problem is this 180-some-year-old man feeding cats. When you're standing there and you, at any given time, you may die or succumb to the scents and the smells of just the jet fuel that is just inches from the surface of the ground that have spilled some 42,000 gallons, for example, spill on the same property, and they're still cleaning some of it up and having to pump it up, and some of it gets in the water, in the groundwater, and it will never be. So this pristine area, as if you left it up to Ed Underwood and Dan Dennison, is reason and cause enough to go and take this law and target people, the cat people, we'll call them, and manufacture this great area, and then have the audacity to go and have the Associated Press to write an article that supposedly, and here's why I call it the assassin approach. Here's a factual account of the land board's action on Friday, as reported by AP. Land board approves state voting changes, right? So, and it went on to say, not about fake. It was just amazing. And the letter is the board of, this is the article from Associated Press. I haven't seen it printed in any magazine or news, but it doesn't. It says published September 9th, 2017. So the Board of Land and Natural Resources Friday approved amendments to a wide range of state boating rules intended to improve management of the state small boat harbors and ocean recreation-related activities in state waters. The people aren't upset about boating rules. They're upset about the rules that somewhere in there you delayed, implemented a policy that in a year or so, in 2019, you're going to likely arrest people, fine them $1,000 for feeding. That has nothing to do with boating. That's all to do with framing and creating an opportunity so that you can abuse the people, such as 80-year-old people or anyone that care. Because if you stop Don from feeding, and this we'll overlay this in any area. If you have someone that's feeding and trapping and neutering and spaying and returning them, they can't produce anymore. But if you stop them and you don't take the cats out, you being the DLNR, what good have you served? Does that mean the population gets to increase because just because they'll start to definitely eat birds, they'll start to eat rats and eat from the trash can, because you see the way they control their trash down there, and then also fishermen right adjoining that area, people fish and throw their bait and leftovers and food and rice back. It's a hellhole. And yet you target and you create this, and I'm all about sound management of the natural resources. I've put my life on the line to protect the natural resources. I don't think anyone can ever debate that. So it's not a reckless abandonment of not caring for the environment. We need good policy. We need good law and rational thinking people to administer, and honest people to administer, and people that is not part of a clique and dancing to the music of, and I'm an environmentalist, but environmentalists can cause you to do things and that will impact other people when it could be avoided, because this is a place of politics. We had one candidate removed from the position or not given the position or whatever it was in the original appointment that Suzanne Case, the chairperson of DLNR, sits in. She, in turn, came second after the other person was denied, and that denial came from the environmental community saying, this guy has conflict. So we now nominate and put forward Suzanne Case. So when you, a year and a half ago, you would think that it would, my letter was a very innocent letter just to invite, extend an invite, wanting to interview, wanting to get the facts as they are on this show so we could inform everyone, a broader base. Refused that and didn't bother to follow up to offer an alternate date. So they don't want to talk to anyone other than the ones that's going to, and this is how this game is going to be played. It plays itself out daily. The people, and we've spoken about this, the people, this is the extent when we talk about facts and manufacturing things. This is the way it is. There's a thing called grants. And there's a thing called money. And money and grants are compatible to one another. And in this town, lots of people exist on grants. They get involved with the government. They'll do the government's work. They'll do things, and quite naturally, you're not going to get someone that's going to express their real opinion. You're going to get yes, man, yes, ma'am. Cats are not native to Hawaii. They're not native to, as we know them, the domestic cat. But we don't have a right to wholesale slaughter when we cause the problem. We don't have that right. Anybody that think they do, I will submit this. You're a sick person, Charlie Brown. Because you, whether you like cats, don't like cats, it's an insult to humankind when we create a circumstance that we could have avoided, and yet we allow this thing to play itself out. And the solution is kill them, manipulate the public's thinking, don't be forthright with the public. We got to move with this process. Now, the majority of the rule of amendments, this letter goes on, well, let me go back. Quote, this extensive rule package contains modifications to multiple rule provisions that we have wanted to make for many years. Quoting Ed Underwood. Ed Underwood is the Boating and Ocean Recreation Administrator, said in a press release. The majority of the rule amendments pertain to organizing the definitions to make them more user-friendly and recognizing administrative rules provision for greater clarity, Underwood said. The rule change covers a spectrum of boating and ocean recreation uses, such as commercial use and parking permits and fees, commercial marine operations and tours, and anchoring and mooring outside of the designated offshore mooring areas, among others. Two new administrative rule sections were approved that prohibit feeding of wildlife or federal animals and abandoning animals and creating or contributing to colonies at the property under DOBAR jurisdiction. This section were added in response to complaints about increased feeding of feral animals at DOBAR, which creates potentially unsafe and unsanitary conditions. Isn't that funny? 2 years ago, practically, almost 2 years, there's a letter that he writes to one man threatening him that he would lose his permits and only had a 90-day period before he got his act together. If he didn't, he would be evicted and be homeless because he lives on his boat. So when we say facts, fake news, when you write a press release, you get to put in anything you want to. But what I think would be just really great and fair is that when the DLNR does a press release such as this, that the Associated Press and any other media come armed with nothing more than an empty sheet of paper, an ink pen filled with ink, and look at it from the perspective of the person that deals with this rather than being hand-fed or spoon-fed a press release, and then you go off and it's half-cocked, half-baked, and we still have the problem. The people, and I've said it again, the people that are opposed to this process and this new development, they're not bitching about their boats. They're not complaining about where to park their boats. They're complaining about the proposed inhumane treatments. And the law goes on to further to say that basically the state will have discretion at how to eradicate, destroy, or kill on any land under the jurisdiction. And here it says DOBAR, DOBAR being the state. So that's the downside of administrative rules, because you don't have to really go through the legislative process where most of it would be played out and vetted and scrutinized to see what's factual. It has a greater chance of getting a decent law. But they did an end run around that process through the legislative process and went through the administrative rule changes, which is a reserved action that they are allowed to do, agencies are allowed to do. The board voted to defer implementation of a provision that would allow disposal of feral or abandoned animals at state small harbors until January 1, 2019. So they'll tell you, oh, no, it's not. We're not going to kill anything now. That's not the rule. It's delayed until 2019. 528-4181 is the number if you want to call in, or 524-9510 if you have any comments or input on the subject. Now, this, you would hope that the people in those positions, such as Suzanne Case and Ed Underwood and what have you, let me tell you something. Go to carolcox.com and Google, or just look up Wilson Keahi. And you'll find there that Ed Underwood tolerated the use of the inappropriate use of land on the part of Mr. Keahi, and we did an investigation, not fake news, but an investigation where we saw documents from these people that's supposed to be making sure that these things did not take place, and they denied us, and they have this trick about things. The DLNR likes to put a heavy fee on public records recovery, or they have a delay. Let me tell you, we lost revenue. We lost quite a bit that could have been gained from the rental of this property to many others, but instead one individual had a permit, revocable permit, under the eyes, watchful eyes of Ed Underwood. And instead, that party was able to rent, and the state got very little revenue from that. Did I tell you about the piece of property that is good for nothing that sits at Maalaea Harbor there on Maui, where the state DOBAR was renting land, paying nearly $1 million a year, or $340-some thousand a year, where there was only one rusty buoy left on the property, and we were engaged in paying that in that contract for a number of years until we brought it up. Not fake news. Did I tell you about the occasion where Suzanne Case and the DLNR officers, the conservation officers, and the manager, the chief, orchestrated a story to surreptitiously or to fly from Maui, staging a press release, press conference, to report that they were tracking a shipment of sea cucumbers that were taken illegally because there's a commercial market, and we didn't know that when we learned just recently that, quote, that it was taking place. When all of that was a lie and we proved it and wrote about it, and you can read that too at carolcox.com. They sent the officer over here. They held up the shipment at the shipping company so that they could rent a car and work undercover, man, and follow this car, the truck that picks it up, to try and find out the location of the, quote, processing plant. The only problem with that is that the officers on this island already knew where the processing plant was, but they were excluded from the participation in that process because Case and her officers and her branch chief and whoever was involved wanted to make a story. So I was able to find it, knew it, but also knew that through my FOIAs or through my public records request, I had documented where this location was. It was not illegal because the state of Hawaii issues permits for the commercialization of sea cucumbers prior to this event. So what does that have to do with cats? Actually, very little, if anything at all. But what it does have to do with is the integrity of an agency that should refrain and be completely clean hands, not hiring people that will use resources, the public resources, the helicopter to pull drugs and go up in the same chopper and gather the natural resources for your personal use. So what did they do? Well, we're not going to investigate that because it's been 3 years or two, 3 years. It's an old case, but like I told you up front, when Suzanne Case came to town, assumed that position as chairperson, I informed her within days, did nothing. But it's about protecting the natural resources. This is why it needs some attention. And the reality is, there are many people out there that feed cats absolutely frightened to death that they're going to be jailed. And if you know, like I know, how government workers work, many of them, especially the Department of Land and Natural Resources, not much is going to happen. Look, we barely can get the officers to be authorized to work at nighttime to work on gill nets that would prevent the death of monk seals that die when they're trapped in the nets, when these nets are illegally used, gill nets. We have a problem, Houston. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, we're moving towards a recreational legalization of marijuana, which would probably be better stated. We're moving towards the decriminalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun being called a criminal, you know. And we got a lot of feral humans. But how is that going to impact the natural resources? Are they even going to pull down the high-rises so they can grow more pot to sell around the world or whatever?
Well,
natural.
Hey, it's possible. Money talks, Ben, and the less fortunate walk.
How much Wild West stuff is going to go on? How many people are going to get buried in these pot fields to be fertilizer?
Now, I don't know that one, but...
Well, it's not a nice thing that science fiction that we can talk about now becomes science fact. Who's going to become king of the pot hill here? You know how greedy human beings are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm thankful that you mentioned that, because one other example is that off the shores of Kailua on the island of Oahu, there's a flat island. You familiar with those? The little flat atolls that sticks up.
I know the major islands and the one that they bombed.
Well, no, this is right at the Kailua Beach here in
Oahu. No, I don't know about that kind of stuff.
Okay, the shearwater and some other birds nest there, but this wedge-tail shearwater and a few other types nest there, and they're on the ground. They're ground nesters, and they nest on the ground. Now, I didn't see any motion or movement on the part of Suzanne Case or Dan Dennison or anybody else that is responsible or has the role of protecting our resources and writing legislation. There's an increased population and visitation to Kailua Beach. And in turn, that population of people now have migrated more frequently to that flat island where these birds nest, caving in the nest, killing some of the birds and all. And you would think we would be moving to protect an entire colony, right? Not saying that don't address the cats. But at any given time, you can see people, tourists, just trampling this nesting area. DLNR does not go out and fight it. They don't issue a $1,000 ticket. Because ultimately it's about the killing and the taking and the disruption of the nesting habitat, the nesting activity. You follow?
I think the word I heard you said about that man on the boat or something, just the one word, care, C-A-R-E, could be the most important word. I don't know if I'm ever going to get the ability to care anymore at 59. The people overpopulate. The Rothschilds and their competitor bankers are so happy to have wars that pay for both sides. They're so generous.
Yeah. The issue is, I'm glad that Suzanne Case and others moved to this, because once and for all, we'll put it on the table now, because it's all been spoken behind the scene. Demonizing the general public while they sit on their asses and do nothing. And when I say nothing, nothing. And then harass the people that attempt to do, well, they may not agree with it, and it may not be scientifically, quote, approved or method. It does, in fact, reduce the population. And so these are the real issues, and we're going to talk more about this and extensively. And they made a casual or cursory mention of people abandoning cats. To what extent will they go? To what distance? How far will they go to really addressing the issue of abandonment? Not just waiting to catch someone, but what rules are DLNR going to implement or take action on to introduce and pass that would address the spay-neuter, would address the tagging of the animal, the microchipping of the animal, the identification when a person acquires an animal, if he's in transit or transit. That person, once you adopt that animal, to death do you part. Or legal way. But where are those rules?
I don't know. The idea of not doing anything sounds kind of like maybe the right start, because if there's no action, there may not be an unforeseen reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like Abraham Lincoln, for example, he was depressed. He felt damned if he did and damned if he didn't in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great president. Maybe something like that can happen. And I don't mean to sound ugly, but why don't they just hire some people to harvest
the cats and send them to a country that eats them.
Well, I'm not advocating for that, and that's up to you. I would encourage you.
I appreciate the fact that you put your life at risk for natural resources, but are you really going to arrest a man that don't have a fishing license, a job, or anything, and is fishing illegally?
Well, they will do that, and a man that has no license and fishing without, he should be able to catch fish to eat, sustain himself, if that's what he wants. But on the other hand, he does not have the right to take a gill net and throw it out and leave it and walk away and leave it overnight and then the next day.
I think the whole issue is really, 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 really hard and confusing. Life is difficult. You go out there to grow your crops. The centipede bites you when you plant the corn. The birds eat the corn when you're not looking. And then the sun burns you to death. But I think there's some answer in the idea of learning how to care. Yeah. Maybe you can expound on that and see these people that you're talking about, that maybe they do care somehow and they just don't know how to care the right way, or
well, if
they don't understand the way they're caring, and by calling it don't caring.
Well, one of the ways they can express their care and concerns is that write the governor, David Ige, and send him an email and express your concerns, whether you for support or don't support. And of this killing or the delayed killing of the animals or the delayed choose your weapons law. Well, they reserve the right to use whatever method they desire to kill the animal.
Yeah. And then you know, talked about that helicopter and the marijuana harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the so-called perk use of the helicopter for some family farm fishing fund. I don't think the marijuana was burnt. I thought it would just collected and be sold on the black market. And if they have a little extra time and helicopter juice, what the heck? Go ahead, farm a little bit.
Well,
let's make sure everybody's eating, and let's not have feral human beings that are left for dead, feral cats or whatever.
Yeah, and people that have actually worked on the eradication program here describe some of their coworkers taking marijuana after they pull it, because who's there watching them on the ground and put it in their pockets? And
they're cutting the buds off and burning the residual, and they're going, great job, boys, everybody here, the black market's doing great.
Yeah, well,
normal person that's trying to make an honest living ain't got nothing, and America's as great as ever. Never been better.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and if you want to call in, folks, 528-4181, not that we need you to call in, but if you many of you call and send emails expressing
concern. I'd like to hear some more people, too.
All righty. Well, we'll talk to you, 528-4181 or 524-9510.
Okay, bye.
We'll be right back.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here, and hope all is well back there on the East Coast, down southern area in Florida. And we're talking here about the Department of Land and Natural Resources actions to, as they describe it, to deal with boat issues and what have you. But in passing, we'll talk also about a little bit of cats. But the reality is it's about killing lots of cats. And let's make, not go away confused. Cats eat birds. Cats are not native to Hawaii. But what is happening is that I'm familiar with the way government works. This is just a Band-Aid effort to make animals suffer in the process so that they could present themselves as doing something, but not really speaking to the entire issue, the whole issue. And I'm trying to solicit or stimulate in the minds of the parties that are responsible, such as Suzanne Case, with this great idea about protecting the world, then let's protect the environment. Let's not take one slice of it and manipulate it, and let's not take, like you've done, aquatics, as we have reported, where you have non-profit organizations that have taken over the state agency, the DLNR, working directly. Not taking public monies from non-profit organizations with promises that they're going to solve age-old problems with you at the helm, with others in the non-profits. When you manipulate and remove and prohibit or obstruct the enforcement or obstruct the biologists that are civil servants that are willing to do the work, published biologists, published that experience, pass them over so that you can get a person in so that they can have be appointed and anointed as a director of aquatics so that they could possibly get their high three or balance out their retirement fund and then live on the big island but not be available. Here's 5 days a week to manage and what have you. And then, oh, yeah, but when it comes to the cats, you also need that person to go and testify because he has a doctor before his name. See, if we could get rid of all of that, you wouldn't have me sitting here preaching any of this. Folks, some of the most corrupt actions that you could witness, and some of you may not witness it, is the conservation agencies. Those people that they're influenced by politics, influenced by nonsense, and influenced by greed. Prior to Bruce Anderson coming here, they had interviews. There's a gentleman that had more than 25 years of expertise. He was passed over for the job so that Mr. Bruce Anderson, former director of the health department, could be appointed, and she held the job open, we're told, because the job advertisement for that position, the chief of aquatics division, was open and announced in competition, and they did interviews, and she reopened, she being Case. What does that have to do with cats? It has a lot to do with cats, because if you have no integrity in your program and your management and your approach, then you have no program that has any standing. And then you have programs of people that can take on 80-year-old men and threaten them, basically threaten their life, because if you evict him from his boat and he's paying, they didn't say he wasn't paying his boat and paying his slip and what have you. You just said he was putting food down, attracting rats and the cats defecating. But you didn't, you know, you didn't make a law that says that anybody bringing aboard people that are on crack or shooting drugs or harboring felons, you didn't say anything about that, this new law. So there's something wrong. And prior to Bruce Anderson's taking that position, now, Dr. Bruce Anderson has been around a long time. And there's this debate about toxoplasmosis, you know, and we've talked about that. And I'm not a scientist, and I'm not an expert on toxoplasmosis. But what I will tell you as it relates to the cats, it is used as an escape goat. It is used as a means of driving home a point, scaring the literal hell out of people, scaring them into vote and support what it is that you want. Toxoplasmosis is ubiquitous in animal populations. And as we've described on this show, where Noah simply had people in the initial stages, they came out and said, it appears that a monk seal died from toxoplasmosis. And as we pointed out, but what Noah does not tell you and what DLNR does not tell you is these things. That they captured a number of seals, monk seals, took them into captivity because they were motivated by the fact that a tugboat sank off near Campbell Industrial Park with approximately 75,000 gallons of diesel fuel. So in the infinite wisdom of the Noah and other wildlife managers, they decided to extract these animals from the wild and keep them in captivity. But then they realized the boat was never recovered, so that it's going to be emitting and introducing diesel oil for a long time, many, many years. So they returned the animal. Now, they don't tell you in that effort of returning it, one of the animals were pregnant. And they don't tell you up front that the animal miscarried. And they don't tell you that they've got many calls about the animal logging. But what they did tell you is that it appears, scientists using the term, it appears. Let's be definitive. We don't have time. This is a critically endangered species, the Hawaiian monk seal. And so do we have time to deal with things that appear to be detrimental, or do we want to draw conclusions so that we can be more ahead of the monsters that are presented in this? Pigs have toxoplasmosis, mongoose, rats, cats. But when you read reports and they don't tell you up front, and then this is not Noah's, this is Noah's contractors. And we posted pictures up, and we posted this study, and we posted a number of things, and we posted and also stated and showed where they withhold information. But this is all about, the motivation is human and environmental health and the cat's impact on, quote, monk seals and birds. So if that is the case, then why don't we see an aggressive effort on the part of Suzanne Case and Dan Dennison to stand up on, if you were religious, on the Rock of Bethlehem and shout it out that we will not tolerate any more sewage spills. We will be fining you, and if we're fining people for feeding cats $1,000, then we will jail the mayor and others responsible for illegally dumping millions of gallons of raw sewage into the ocean where the monk seal frolic and play and try to subsist themselves. Let's talk about that. Let's not demonize people that go around in the dark of night trying to do some good, and then in turn you demonize them and criminalize them, and then all hell is breaking loose on the front. You're witnessing monk seals and you're witnessing turtles dying and having their flippers cut off. You're witnessing turtles being hit by boats in zones that shouldn't be boats running any faster than 5 knots or so. Let's talk about those things and look at the package rather than one portion of the package, and using that portion to browbeat people and criminalize them. That's not conservation management. Let's stand up and say, rather than no comment, no significant impact, let's speak the truth. And when you get a reference and have a comment period on an environmental impact statement, then stand up and speak the truth rather than mumbling and fumbling and then giving whoever want to develop because they're politically connected. See, the cats can't do that. But one day they're going to rise up one day and they're going to walk in with 3-piece suits on and they're going to be able to slip you some money under the door and give you some money for your elections and all. Just wait. Cats are, they're evolving. But then maybe not. Maybe it's just humans just operating that sleazy fashion. And then turn around and say that we're managing the natural resources. This place is so fragmented. You got people stepping over one another, claiming to do the same job, but when you really need them to do the job, they then proclaim that's not our job. That's someone else's job. That's what the reality is here. This isn't about cats in totality. This is about a system that has learned to jerk the public around, lie to the public, and take and abuse the public process, taking it for their friends' benefit, whether it's water, land, air, trees, or what have you. Let's see some documents that say we're not going to allow you to decrease the habitat of this species. Let's ask the DLNR. There's a crazy process here that really is, I don't know, they had to have been smoking drugs when they wrote it. You see, there's endangered plants here. Let's take Campbell Industrial Park. So there's a development. The city wants to develop, or another person wants to develop the small portion of land, maybe of 1 acre, 2, 3 acres, but it has endangered plants. So what do? Yeah, go ahead and build it, and so just scoop up the plants and dig them up, and then you can plant them somewhere else or put them in a planter or what have you, and that satisfies no significant impact clause. But oh no, this is about protecting the environment, protecting the species. So I want you to go away and understand that I'm not advocating for the cats. I'm not advocating for anything. I'm begging and saying that it's time for an agency that is responsible for the numerous things, that the many things that we have that are so fragile and sensitive, to act like grown-ups now. Do the right thing. Don't use the process and abuse the process so that you can retaliate against people and weaponize the process, so to speak. And that's what you witness with this Board of Land and Natural Resources, this hearing and all of this, and this on Friday. That's what you witnessed. You saw the weaponization of policy and rule change so that they could beat up on a certain entity. Let's give you enough to really drive you insane is that we have sewage spills. They repeat themselves almost on a weekly or daily basis. And all of the fecal matter. And so where is the DLNR? Why has it not? And I know it's so fragmented, as I mentioned. You got the Department of Health. And it's so fragmented. It's orchestrated. It appears that it's done this way to rape and pillage the resources. And that is, let's take the health department. You go in, you have one problem. But you better know which branch or which division to go to. You got water, you got sewage water. Oh, don't, you can go to the clean water branch, or if you go to the wastewater branch, no, that's a clean water branch issue. You go to solid waste, no, that's a Clean Water Act violation. That's a clean water, so that's Clean Water Department branch. And you have turtles and birds that are impacted and contaminated by these bacterials and diseases that's in human fecal matter and sewage. You would think the DLNR would be concerned about that, but no. Haven't seen them issue a citation ever on that. The lands are polluted. Illegal dumping, contaminants. When the last time the DLNR has, they talk about, we'll give you a $1,000 fine for dumping bird seed and feeding cat and putting cat food down. But when has a DLNR given anybody a ticket for a dollar for dumping an entire car or dumping a truckload or 13 tons of calcium hydroxide? Where is the logic? So, for those of you that are listening and from afar and from out of state that have contacted me, I want you to understand that when you don't believe everything you read, especially if it's presented and distributed by an entity that can't hold its own water, can't stand up to scrutiny, only talks to people that are going to give them a favorable review and skirt the truth, and then call it the Aloha spirit. You see, don't be duped. Killing the cats is nothing more than an orchestrated effort on the part of uninformed people that don't have the environment and its concerns in totality, only a portion of it, because they could get some money. You see, then we just had a monk seal the other day with a hook in its mouth. Now, there should be something to address this being done to prevent it, even down to the point of citing people or prohibiting the fishing or prohibiting the various type of fishing or the equipment being used. Now, that's an unreasonable request, you might say. But think of it this way. If Don Felipe is feeding cats, and the assumption is and the conclusion is that his feeding the cats causes the cat to survive and enhances the cat's life, where it defecates and its feces then find its way to the ocean, and the ocean then floats out, and the monk seal comes along and contacts it or ingests that fecal matter or the oocyst from the toxoplasmosis, and then it kills the monk seal. But on the other hand, a fisherman standing there using a hook that very large and that will in fact pierce the liver, pierce the vital organ of the monk seal if it ingested. And there's federal law have required the state and the federal government to take action to evaluate and stop it or do something to mitigate it. But when a fisherman comes along and throws a net out and walks away because he didn't have to worry and he leaves it there all night and the monk seal gets snagged, what's the difference, and drowns, what's the difference between Don Felipe, in theory, feeding cats and they're defecating and it's finding its way to the water and killing the monk seal, as they claim. And over here is a fisherman who is unaddressed, rarely monitored, leaves his net in and kills the monk seal. Something is wrong. You see, that, and Dan Dennison, when you have blinders on, And it tells me truly that you're really not, you know nothing about protection of wildlife, management of wildlife. It suggests to me that you're just a machine, a company man like the rest of them, not doing what's right, what you're mandated to do, what you're hired to do, to educate the public, reach out when you they don't agree with you. That does not mean that you have the right to ignore them. We're still public citizens. We have a right to access to our government records. So when you go on the war path for people asking questions like, well, gee, if Don Felipe is going, you say his action is going to contribute to the death of a monk seal, but the person over here throwing a net out and using it and leaving it and walking away and the monk seal drowned, what's the difference? Why aren't you changing law there? Why aren't you being aggressive? Why don't you authorize the officers and to work throughout the night, rather than, as we reported in the earlier, it was 4:30, and if you dare call in and report a complaint, you're likely to get a recording of answering service who don't give that information. And so then you might, if you call on a Friday night, you might get a call on a Wednesday night, the next Wednesday or the next Monday, from an officer saying, asking questions, where is the net? So this recent monk seal hooking, again, fish hook in the monk seal, the baby one, they call it Kamana. So this is something that really and truly affords an opportunity to strike up the band. Let's hear what you have to say. And through this process, we might come up with some sensible management to or something, rather than one where you're gouging the eyes out of the person for going out there and punishing them and torturing them and causing them to live in fear. You see, it has to stop. And resources, I alluded to it earlier. On the island of Maui, there is a conservation district or community fisheries, nonprofit organization, courted by some state officials, and the governor, Neil Abercrombie, they promised to just give all kinds of money to run this program, this community-based fisheries, patrol, enforcement. And they bought boats and new trucks and all, and they ran out of money. But then when you look at the product that they produced, they were having to borrow from the other uniform officers their statistics, their stats, their arrests, citations to pump up and represent that this program is successful, but yet they ran out of money. But they promised, they being the nonprofits, promised with DLNR's blessing that they would give more money. But then they went to the legislature begging for $5 or $6 million or something. So the whole process is, this isn't about cats, and it's about an entity that has gotten too big for its pants, never was honest. It's been piecemeal. The position that Bruce Anderson sits in, I just love these opportunities. Christmas came early for me, folks, to allow me to reach back and bring up old subjects, because the old subjects only show a pattern, and it defines the people what we suspect they are. But now they're defining themselves. It's a clearer picture. Now, we were responsible, we, myself, as I love the term, you know, when you got to quote Donald Trump about fake news, then something's missing. But anyway, if that's what you describe, but through our fake news process, and I've dispersing fake news, we were able to expose the earlier director of the aquatics division who were traveling to foreign countries and to other states flying first class. Through our fake news process, and that's the joy. See, fake news is not all bad because it just depends on who's delivering it, I guess. Because, you know, fake news didn't say we're the Associated Press. We're just Carol Cox, fake news. But in this process, if we were to accept in that title of the description, I'm proud to tell you that in this process, we investigated and McGilvey, Fraser McGilvey, who was the director of the aquatics division. And we found that a lot of money was spent. And we found that he had said that he has to fly first class to wherever he goes because he had a major back problem and had a doctor's letter, and we have a copy of that, and that it was it prevented him from doing certain types of work and sitting in a long flight. He needed to, had to fly first class because that back problem was so bad. But then we also found a letter that Mr. Fraser McGilvery had gotten a waiver from Mr. William Isla and his doctor to say that he's okay because Fraser wanted to become an open ocean or an open water safety diver. Now, how in hell are you going to be so debilitated that you have to fly first class on all of your trips, but then you turn right around and then get permission to become a rescue diver? Now, I've heard of aquatics rehabilitation, you know, but this one, you're donning on a heavy tank, neoprene suit, lead weight belt, and all of that. And then you're out there struggling against the wave, depending on if you're going to be an open oceans rescue. So I applaud anyone that wished to raise the issue about how I deliver something. It would be crispy clean if I had an entity like the DLNR that would respond and be respectful and acknowledge that when I make a public request, then I should be able to get it responded to in a timely fashion as required by law, and that I should not be manipulated and the timing not manipulated, and the delay, intentional delay, should not be tolerated and should be abandoned. So these are the kinds of people that rush and say, this is not a smokescreen. The chairperson didn't say that. We never claimed the chairperson said anything. We said in our writings that an informant, an anonymous person, told us. So this is rather a fortuitous opportunity. We don't scare easy, and we have a concern with what is the state of affairs and what is the conditions of our natural resources. And anybody that sits in the bully pulpit over there in the high office and threaten people that are trying to do some good, and you demonize and criminalize them for feeding cats, something's wrong there. So the governor is holding this now, or will be getting it. It be referred to the governor to sign the bill. So again, if you are objecting to it, please call the governor or write the governor and express your concerns. So this We talk about this process, and so here are some some of the people call me and that are concerned with this feeding ban and the threat of being arrested. But let me back up. This delayed feeding ban, it's going to be delayed. We're not going to put you in jail today. We'll do it tomorrow, you see. That's a compromise, isn't it? We're going to pass the law, and we're going to put everything in motion, and then we're going to try to work with you. But how are you going to work with them? Who are you going to work with? If they work with you, are you going to get them to sign a waiver? Are you going to exempt them? Are you going to say to them, this information will not be used in any other form or fashion other than to work with you? Or would it be tricking the public the way these guys work? And this is a heads up to you people that are cat feeders out there and that might likely to buy into this. These are slick people. They have the power. They have guns. They have badges. They have rapists amongst them. So if I was you, I'd be very careful. And I would say that if you're going to join in and participate with them, you make sure, and I'm not giving you legal advice, I'm saying to you, you make sure that whatever program they implement, you make sure that you're indemnified and you get a clearance from them that none of this activity will be used to prosecute you. Because, and you might think that's far-fetched, I'm just telling you, I know these people. I've come to learn that these people, for example, at the IL meeting, someone gave me these cards, and I called up Leymana DeMatte and asked her, was she part of this? And so these are the people that goes in and testify on behalf of the bill, in support of the bill. But some of the members that attended these meetings expressed concerns that they weren't being open about their affiliation. And Leymana DeMatte is the executive director of AHA Moku Advisory Committee. And she has a state card with a state emblem on it, State of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. So they came in and testified in support of the bill, the motion. Now, again, I didn't attend that meeting, but some of the callers called me that did attend was expressing concern that these people should have disclosed that who they were. Instead, they did not in clarity. And then there's Lealoha Rocky Kalohiva from the same organization. She was there testifying. So, again, State Department of Land and Natural Resources, I don't know if they're employees, or it's not clear, but they have an official card that they were passing out, and that's that. So if I was you and I was approached, I would make darn sure that I was able to protect myself or immunize myself from any involvement with them in case, because they'll double back on you. And especially if they're in the mode, see, there'll be federal monies. And you've not seen a nonprofit in, it's almost like a feeding frenzy of piranha when it comes to that federal money and those grants. They'll say or do anything. I mean, when I say anything, do anything, they will. And it's as if once they get it, they become nice people again. But in the process, so what's driving these people to have sat on their haunches? And let's look at this for a minute. Why would an agency know that cats are killing birds, so to speak, and cats are killing monk seals, and cats are unhealthy, why would they wait for so many years when it's their job to manage the natural resources? Why are they so late at implementing these rules, and why did they stand by and just let this thing develop into this problem that they now say the world is about to end, so to speak? What does that say about their managerial skills? What does that say about their commitment to the environment? What do they say of their commitment to the fiduciary responsibility to the people? What does that say? It reminds me of when I was younger, my mother would always say, well, you keep on, and it's adding up on you, you see. And then you get one licking, and it's all those bad things you've done, supposedly. That's how the DLNR and state agencies operate here. You can break the law, you can do whatever, and you can just keep operating, and then we're watching you so that, and then eventually we're going to turn on you and take your actions and work them against you. And we're going to describe you as some of the most horrendous people on the planet. How dare you go out there and feed cats next to birds, because cats eat birds. How dare you? You're an evil person. So therefore, we're going to have to make new law, new rules. We're going to put you in jail, or we're going to fine you. That's their policy. That's their approach to wildlife management, conservation, natural resources. On one hand, I just saw the other day a press release, and these are just observations, not asking the world to change overnight. Or basically, you can ignore what I'm saying, but just an observation. While they were talking about and processing and having these meetings on each island about the cats and about addressing the cats and the method of killing and any method they just choose and what have on land under the jurisdiction of this agency. So here's what happened. In the process of doing all of that, they turn and say, well, we're having these meetings and we're talking and we're coming up, we have a solution. And what's that solution? Arrest them. I went the long way around, but it reminds me of many occasions where sometimes talking to people and understanding where they are going with their actions and activities and involvement. If the state banned Donald from feeding for a year and a half, what happened to those cats? What happened to the, did they breed? Or did they say, well, you know, because Don is not feeding us anymore, and the cats, and so what we can do, we'll mate less, and then we'll just wait until the state get its act together, and then it'll let the state catch up with its activities, and then it can come and shoot us or trap us. So if they trap the cat, how do they destroy the cat? Are they going to transport the cat and release it somewhere? Read that new law. And these are the kinds of questions. So I'll tell you what will happen. And some of you may not like it. But this is the reality. They'll take them. Trap them. And mind you now, it's not easy trapping cats. You trap them. Now, you can hire an exterminator that's where they make their money, to kill the cats and kill birds. I mean, at one time, this town is so vicious about killing things that they have the ritter birds, and where the birds sit on a perch and absorb the poison through their feet and die when they want to get rid of the pigeons downtown in Waikiki. Or that sometimes they feed them poison corn. But with the cats, they trap them, if they trap them. Or because it says any method desired, they can snare them. And once they're snared, they lay there suffering and struggling, and somebody comes along and shoots them in the head with a centerfire rifle or a pellet rifle or a club them to death. Or take a bear claw trap, a bear trap. Trap him, a leg hold trap. Sometimes they don't get caught by the leg. They get caught by the head, by the shoulder. Mayhem and just anything that you can think of. And you go read that law, as Mr. Dennison said. Well, you know, I put words in the chairman's mouth that, no, just read the law and read what is being proposed. And they're not advocating killing, at least not right now. They'll be doing that in a year or with a year delay or so. Is that any consolement to you? I mean, you the caretakers out there. So this is the big picture that we have here. We have a system that's broken. We have, if you go and ask yourselves, what is this thing about conservation? What are you relying on to serve as conservation-minded people? Is your requirements for employment, do you require any biology or conservation schooling or anything? The answer is not really. Their requirement is we want you to have law enforcement experience. So you end up getting policemen rather than conservation and enforcement officers. Conservation and enforcement officers trained in that would understand the connection between human beings, their activities, their impact on the environment, what impacts can be mitigated, how to mitigate them, how to look for crime. If you're a policeman and you've been driving the street looking for people doing drugs or stealing, and it's not the same. You got to be of the mindset to know that if you're standing there watching a fisherman fishing and catching fish, and they're really biting today, and what they're catching may be prohibited, or what they're catching may be undersized. But the DLNR does not bother itself with that. The DLNR, this is their conservation management effort. Let's scare the hell out of the people that feed cats. If we don't like what you're doing, we will damn you, and we will punish you, and we will fine you, and we will jail you. That's their conservation management. I don't care where they're from. I don't care where Case is from. I don't care where Dennison is from. There is no understanding and no commitment to the natural resources here. There is no way. Yes, Bruce Anderson was the director of the health department, but he didn't know anything about the aquatic species and their habitat and their management and their breeding and their mating, and if they were anadromous or catadromous, if they went to the ocean, went to the sea, and all of that. He's never. You need a skilled party that knows these things. So this is how you get this management, where you look at an issue, and then you decide, and just follow this, whether it's they just made it illegal or prohibited the aquatic collection, aquarium collection. When an agency relies on the law, outside of just routine patrols and investigations, but requires writing a law and manipulating circumstances to arrive at the point where you can introduce a law to, you know, smoke screen, and so that you can and rely on people coming in and testifying, not disclosing who they really are, and you're stacking the cards. That's not a conservation plan. That's not conservation-minded. That's being one-tracked and will clearly fail. And that's what you have today in the Department of Land and Natural Resources, a failed process that we keep feeding that does nothing. Oh, I didn't tell you about the responsibility or the irresponsible behavior of Sri Hansen there, who was killed by a boat in Kailua, right near the Flat Islands area in that vicinity. Boat run him over. State Department of Land and Natural Resources could give a rat's butt about what happened in the initial stages. They didn't seize the boat. They didn't do anything. They rely on, they say, the police department. But a human being gave its life, his life, and another was injured severely. And they allowed him to take the car, the driver of the boat or someone that claimed ownership of the boat, take it home, allowing them time to, if they desire, to wash it down, take all of the evidence and what have you. And the DLNR, they wrote a ticket for something and they withdrew it and on. So I'm saying to you, don't trust anything. What you see is there's an email every day. What's laughable, too, is that pay attention to some of their emails that I'm privy to, their releases. There's always a correction, pretty much. They'll send something out, and they didn't get that right. They'll come back and send it out again. Now, I understand you want to be accurate, but why not be accurate in the initial stages? So I am not advocating to see hordes and hordes and hordes of cats in the wild. What I am advocating is that we need an entity, an agency with integrity that understands that you don't use the law as a club to beat people into submission to get them to do what you want them to do, but we still have the problem. Because problems goes like this. If you own a cat or a dog and you bring it into the state, you better show proof that you're going to take it out of the state. And you better show proof that you either gave it to someone or that who is adopted and the ownership is transferred. And maybe we'd even try to restrict the breeding. Unless you are certified and go through a process like they do citizens when parrots are imported or protected species are imported, there are certain people can get licensed to serve as an importer or do something like that, resort to something of that nature. We need abandonment. When people abandon, let's see what the law says. Let's see, what I want to see is clearly how Suzanne Case is, what she planned to do to enforce the abandonment and to prevent abandoning animals. That's what I want to see. Don't run downstream and then arrest the people that are feeding them. Let's see what you're going to do to complement that severe action that you're taking against people that feed. And you have to have a heart of stone at this day and age to be able to put on your jacket or your coat or sign your name that you're the chairperson of the conservation department or you're the spokesperson for the conservation department or you're an enforcement officer for the conservation department or whatever you are, for the conservation of Hawaii's natural resources, and you resort to such tactics as these, we don't need an agency that would flounder as such, lay around, lazing around, and the average officer for conservation department to include its some of its top leaders in this department just recently, they were running two jobs at one time and interchanging titles. So we're not going to get the coverage to look at the other violations, things such as people using bleach to poison reefs, to kill the fish, to suffocate the fish, or using the coffee, they call it coffee, paraquat, to kill the fish so that they can pick them up. And also, if Suzanne Case was really interested in public health and the fish, the impacts on fish, and she would be more aggressive in visiting the fish markets to prevent and patrolling the islands to prevent people from taking fish from sewage or wastewater facilities or ditches and taking those clams or what have you and selling them to people and serving them in the restaurants. If that was what she had a real plan, we'd see all of that. It would flourish. The agency would be responsive. We wouldn't be reading. Rarely would we read that yet another monk seal or a sea turtle drowning in the nets because the law says that you can't leave one unattended. But we know the death of them and they're death traps. Why not take the action to ban them? So anyway, that's about it, and we'll talk about this much more, but and if you're listening, Mr. Dennison, please continue to send me anything you like in describing me, this as being inaccurate and condescending. Just remember, I've had to ask you before I even got to know you to quit being so disrespectful and condescending. For some reason, you have that nature. But clearly, we're looking to make things better. And not to succumb to whatever that's Mississippi-style strategy that you have. It doesn't work. We'll hold you accountable. We'll ask the questions, and we'll ask the chairperson. I've asked for a meeting with the chairperson in my recent posting, and I ask that you respect that and see if you can set it up. So thank you for joining me, guys. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you next week. Aloha.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.